With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. New Bears with new messages all over the gram, and we are delighted to bring in Hub Arkish. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline, Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Hub, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Hub.
I'm hanging in there, Mike. How you doing, David? How you guys doing this morning?
Well, we're doing right. Great, and love talking about new Bears and football. And it's that time of year where there's nothing else really going on. They own the landscape for obvious reasons. We were having a big discussion about the draft and where the Bears should go and what they should do. Is there a positional void here, Hub, that they must address in this draft? When you look at where they're at with the limited number of picks and the players like Robert Quinn they brought in, like the quarterback, does that tell you something about where they need to go? Where do they need to go, in your opinion?
Well, I think, you know, they knew they had to deal with the pass rush on the defense, and they did a really nice job of that. You flip Leonard Floyd for Robert Quinn and save, you know, roughly $6 million, almost $7 million against the cap this year in that one move. That puts the defense in pretty good shape. You're still not certain that you have a starting safety, you know, next to Eddie Jackson, but you feel pretty good about the competition right now with Deion Bush and Jordan Lucas, and you know there's going to be more. And other than that, you know, the defense, you can always use more, but it's in pretty good shape. Maybe another cornerback. I think the focus has really been on the offense. As you look at what they've done, adding a couple tight ends and Demetrius Harris and Jimmy Graham, you know, they've addressed the quarterback situation. They've added an offensive lineman. But the offensive line, I think everybody pretty much agreed coming into this offseason, was the area that needed the most work. And while Jermaine Ifedi is a former number one pick, not exactly an accomplished player out of Seattle. So, you know, they could do different things with those second-round picks and as they get deeper in the draft. But the one area where you feel they got to come out of the draft, I think, at least with a lot more talent, you know, and therefore hopefully better competition, is on that offensive line. And it's both at right guard and tackle.
Hub, did you look at the Nick Foles contract terms and see that the $8 million cap hit that he – as they restructured his deal, did that make you view the situation any differently?
Well, no, not really, because, you know, that's all about how they structured the deal to make it work with the cap. At the end of the day, they've given him a fair amount of guaranteed money. It tells you he's not here for just the one season, although I suppose if he ended up as the starter from day one, then that guaranteed money, even for one season, would seem reasonable at the position. But I just felt all along coming in, guys, that there's so much emotion around Mitch Trubisky and there's so many opinions and there's so much frustration because of where he was drafted. It kind of got in the way of the fact that they weren't writing him off, that he wasn't going to be gone, that he was still not only going to be, you know, in the competition this year, but he was still going to be the guy that they want to win that competition. And so, finding the perfect complement for that, you know, somebody who would be a big upgrade as a backup over Chase Daniel, which Nick Foles, you know, surely is, a guy who you could win playoff games with if you had to. If Trubisky's not the answer, that's what Nick Foles is. And yet a guy who's going to take that role, you know, and be a perfect fit, again, that's what Nick Foles is. So to me, it wasn't so much about the money is from the beginning of this thing, he was the best fit for them. Oh, and I left out the part, probably knows the Bears offense as well as Matt Nagy. That's what Nagy said he wanted in the season-ending press conference. And now, with delays in the offseason and mini camps and practice and everything, anybody else who got a new quarterback, they're not going to have him ready to go with the scheme until the middle of the season. Foles hits the ground on day one, ready to go. So he really, just in a lot of respects, was the perfect fit for the situation that they were in.
You know, Hub, we've been also having an argument about the tight end position. We know they've got nine guys under contract, and you wonder, if you save $1 million by cutting Trey Burton, are you better off with the amount of money that you owe him, $7.5 million? Are you better off just sort of keeping him around too? We know they paid a lot of money to Jimmy Graham. What's Trey Burton's future? Is he still a part of this team? Do you think that Adam Shaheen makes this roster?
You know, Mike, I think this is another position like quarterback where the emotion has gotten in the way of the logic a little bit. The contract, if it's a bad contract with Trey Burton, it was a bad contract the day they signed him. But what everybody forgets is that the first year of that deal, he played up to the contract with 56 catches and over 600 yards and six touchdowns as a number two tight end. He was exactly what they were looking for. And last year was about injuries. It wasn't about being a bad football player. Now, whether anybody likes the circumstances of when the injury first surfaced before the wild card game, or, you know, the fact that they misread it, or I don't know if they misdiagnosed it, I'm not sure what went on. But we have to assume the guy wasn't playing because he was hurt. And so at this point, to eat, you know, $7.5 million in bad money, even though you save $1 million against the cap, when none of the other answers at tight end are sure things, I'd be very surprised if he's not on the roster. I think they want, Jimmy Graham and Demetrius Harris to share that Y spot. I think they want Burton to be the U. I think they hope some of these kids can play. I think even with 8 or 9 on the roster, they might still draft another one if there's a better prospect. I can't see Adam Shaheen on the team on opening day. There's no reason for him not to be here now. That contract is almost up. It's not as painful. You might as well let the guy compete during the off season. But I'd be very surprised if Shaheen makes the final roster.
So, Hub, as you write, this is the year in the draft to get a wide receiver because it's one of the most, I guess, historically one of the deepest wide receiver drafts in years, if not ever. And then by the same token, it's a deep year for offensive tackles as well. So if you're Ryan Pace and you're sitting there and you have first round grades on an offensive tackle and a wide receiver, and you're there in the second round, you need both. Which way are you leaning?
Well, I think you're probably going to take the best football player there. And we think it's cliche, but it's the way teams are the most successful in the draft annually over history. You should always, if you can, draft the best available football player. And that usually falls to 3-4 areas of need on your roster that you're looking to if you have to split some ties. And so the question becomes, are you all in this year? Are you looking for one rookie who's going to make an impact from early in the season on, or I should say wide receiver, not tight end, or both for that matter? If that's the case, if there's a wide receiver there who you think can be your number one or your number two for the next 3, 4, 5 years, and there are some of those guys prospect-wise into the middle and bottom of the second round, you probably go wide out. But I do think at the same time, the need may be a little bit greater on the offensive line, but it's a lot less common for a big tackle or guard to step in on day one and start, the rest of the year and start the rest of his career. So it really becomes best football player. But if the first two picks, if they end up not dealing those 2 seconds and they use them at 43 and 50, it wouldn't be at all surprising to me if one was an offensive lineman, the other was a wide receiver, because right now, wide receiver is interesting, guys. If Anthony Miller is healthy, it's not the need that I think it might be. You just have to be concerned with a chronic dislocating shoulder to have surgery on the same wonder in the offseason 2 years in a row. You at least need to back yourself up there. And then we don't know what Riley Ridley is. This is the position they could be in good shape at, or they could be desperate at. And this is the position that may be missing offseason activities as much as any, to see how healthy Miller might be and to see the development of Riley Ridley and Javon Wims.
You know, Hub, it's a very interesting issue because I think it goes back to a kind of chicken and egg thing. Does an offensive lineman make the quarterback better, make the offense better, or do you need a weapon, right? I mean, we look at this team, and no matter what way you want to look at it, they don't score. They can't score points. Maybe with an increase in the pass rush with Quinn there and with Akeem coming back, Mac plays better. Maybe you get the ball more and your field position's better. But you're going three and out for a living. You got one wide receiver. Don't you have to have a weapon in order to score a bloody touchdown because they can't seem to do it?
Well, Mike, you do. You know, you got to get better across the board at offense, and you need more weapons. But, you know, you can look at that a few different ways. Allen Robinson is certainly a weapon. Tariq Cohn and David Montgomery can be weapons. Anthony Miller was becoming a weapon. So there's some potential already there. In a number, and maybe, you know, Jimmy Graham, I mean, I don't want to write the guy off. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. I think what was stunning about that was the speed of the move and the size of the contract, more than they're taking a chance on him. But I think the bigger answer to your question is the one thing we can say with almost certainty is that regardless of whether it's Mr. Trubisky or Nick Foles, the offense becomes much better if you get a running game. And the best way to get a running game is to beef up that offensive line.
Well, then you're going to need a new coach, Hub.
Yeah, you need to commit to the running game before you can have a running game.
Yeah,
you know, guys, I've maintained really throughout the first 2 years that I don't know that Matt Nagy, I don't know if he doesn't want to. I believe him when he says he wants to run the football. You can't not want to run the ball in the NFL and be a successful coach. I just think that he's gotten so caught up in the size and scope of his offense. And we talk about the big board in the office where he's drawing up plays all the time, that we saw the chicanery he came up with his first year. I don't think that the offense, the running game just fits the way it needs to. And I think that's a Matt Nagy problem. I think that's a coaching staff problem. I'm sure that's why you saw the mass changes on the offensive side of that coaching staff. And I think they've got to get their scheme fit down. And then they've got to have it designed to be successful with the players that they do have, because I think if it works, you will see him use it more. I mean, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and for all the talk about Patrick Mahomes, look at the difference Damian Williams made once they got him there and they figured he was the right guy for that scheme. Ripped off an 84-yard run, ripped off a 90-yard run, exactly the kind of big plays, Molly, that you were talking about a couple minutes ago.
Hub, thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you. Always a joy to talk a little draft and the fact that it's going on. You know, I know some people don't like it, but my God, I need it. So I'm very pleased to see it. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
Thanks, Hub.
Good to talk to you guys. Please hang in there. Stay safe, everybody. Just be careful out there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.